All right. Matthew 26, please. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Right next to the last book of the Old Testament. Yep. Now I'm going to ask if you would, physically able, if you'd stand with me. Matthew 26, let me read a few verses here in verse 17. Verse 17, it says, "Now, the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." That'll ruin your appetite. "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and they choked on their..." They began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" Let that sink in.
Yeah, amen.
God knows you and me better than we know ourselves.
Absolutely.
And they knew that. By this time they were thinking, if he said it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
That's right.
But I hope it's not me.
Yeah.
Verse 23, "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." And they're really not very hungry anymore. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." Let's pray. Father, I want you to be honored tonight. Lord, I have nothing to say to your people, Father, that would be from me. I do not want to say anything that would be from these old worthless lips. Lord, I pray for perfect grace and liberty and wisdom, that I, Lord God, you would allow me to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I yield myself, Lord, to thee. All that I am, from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, Lord God, please, I pray you'd use me tonight. Speak to your people. Father, help me to be a blessing, to be a strength, to be, Lord God, honoring in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Tonight, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we're going to look at a few things here. This is the original Lord's Supper, if you will, the original time of communion. And I just want you to see, we're just going to go through these verses and pull a couple things out, and we'll be around maybe a couple other passages of Scripture. But I'm not going to belabor the point. We want to get right into the actual Lord's Supper. But notice in verse 17 again, "The first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" So they knew that it was time to eat the Passover with Jesus. And they knew that it was the right thing to do. And Jesus said in verse 18, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples, notice, did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, I know that the way we read it here in Matthew 26, verse 17, is the disciples came to Jesus, but the disciples came to Jesus because they knew this was what was the next thing on the calendar, so to speak. They knew that it was the right thing to do. What I want you to see, though, this Passover supper that they're going to eat, even though it wasn't very pleasant in this particular time, this Passover supper, it was a time of fellowship with the Lord. We call it communion. All communion means is where there's a sweet time of closeness together with the Lord. A sweet time of fellowship and communion, where communion is where two or more people together that have something in common. Yeah. Okay, communion. Now, so I want to look at with you just a few thoughts tonight. And the number one thing is I want you to see this is a commissioned communion.
Yeah.
This is a commissioned communion. What I'm saying to you is this is not an option for the disciples of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
This is not the Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord that we're looking at here tonight. Jesus appointed them to go do this.
Right.
Jesus did not say, well, it's no big deal. We won't look at this tonight. You know, I'm just about to go to Calvary. You know, come on, I've got a lot on my mind. I'm very overwhelmed with the sorrow. And he was. As we know, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane later this very night, and he was overwhelmed. He said his soul was exceeding sorrowful unto death, and he went to pray, and he prayed for 3 hours that night.
Yeah, amen.
But what I'm saying to you is that he did not overlook this time of communion with his disciples.
Yeah.
He did not skip over. No matter, it doesn't matter what was going on in his life. His ministry was about to come to an end, but it was going to be the most gruesome end that you can imagine. However, Jesus still commissioned this for his disciples. In other words, listen, everybody that's saved, number one, doesn't make them a disciple.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? Everybody that's saved doesn't make them a disciple. But God's will for everybody that's saved is that they be a disciple.
Yeah.
Everybody that's saved, however, Jesus said, if any man's going to be my disciple, he's going to have to deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me.
Yep.
And that's what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who is following the Lord every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taking up their cross daily, denying their self, and following Jesus. Now, these disciples, they weren't perfect men. They were just like you and me. But they did have a desire to follow Jesus. Now, here we go, looking at them as Jesus tells them to go find the place. Jesus had everything prepared. And don't you love that? Jesus had everything prepared.
Yeah,
he knew exactly where to go. He knew exactly what to eat. He knew exactly where they would be allowed to go in. And wouldn't it be a blessing in verse 18? Wouldn't it be a blessing to go into the city to such a man and say, you know what? The Master saith, this is what I want from you.
That's right.
Now, if you tried to do that today, you might not find welcome response.
Yeah.
But Jesus knew, the people around there knew Jesus. Amen. There was a different attitude. There was a different spirit there. But Jesus did tell them, go into the city, and then he appointed them this Passover time. In other words, what I'm saying to you, dearly beloved, tonight, is that what we're about to do here tonight is God's will. It's just as much as the commission as the Great Commission.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? It's just as much commission as you go and tell people to be saved.
That's right.
Okay? And what happens is, many times, people look... I'm not going to go into everybody else's religion, but other churches do this every single time they have church. Okay? And that's not what we're looking at tonight. That's not what we're looking at in here. I want you to hold your place here, and I want you to go to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Okay, we're going to bounce back and forth between Matthew and 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. So just kind of keep your ribbons there, or your bookmarks, or your fingers, whatever you can do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now look right there. He says, "Take, eat." He did not give them an option. He wanted them to participate in this, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. This is an ordinance, just like baptism, that you are supposed to participate in as a child of God. You are supposed to participate in this supper, this Lord's Supper. As a disciple of Christ, as much as you are supposed to be baptized once, the Lord's Supper is also a local church ordinance given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not an option. I pity the people who only show up on Sunday mornings and yet they're completely missing out on what God has for them. But they're also very disobedient.
That's right. Yeah,
they're completely out of the will of God when they don't understand the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them is that you are to take this bread and eat it. You are. He said in verse 25 and in verse Corinthians 10 there, excuse me, 11, after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye. You notice, as often as you drink it, then remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He did not give us a particular time to do it. He just said, as often as you do it, you can do it as often as you want to. We do it to about three times a year, but especially right around Easter, because we are looking at the resurrection. But quite frankly, folks, Jesus rose again for us. It's every Sunday. It's every day. He's alive in our hearts. Amen. So here's the thing. It's a commissioned communion. That's all I'm trying to say. It is appointed for you and to me as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to participate in this bread and in this cup.
Yeah.
And it makes for a very, very unhappy Christian when they don't understand the Bible, they don't understand faithfulness to their church, they don't understand being a part of the ordinances that the Lord has provided for them. This is not going to help Jesus any.
That's right.
Amen.
The Great Commission does not necessarily help Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. He doesn't need to get saved.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus doesn't need to get baptized. But he did get baptized, and he did partake of this cup and this bread with his disciples as an example of what he wants us to do. It is a commissioned communion. It's not optional. Okay. Right. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying all that for? Well, it'll make sense here in a minute. Go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. He commissioned it. It was not an option. I want you to see number two. It's a commissioned communion, but it's also a closed communion.
Yeah.
A closed communion. Look at this here. It says here in verse 19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12.
That's right.
He did not go out there on the mountainside with the 5,000 plus their women and children and have the Lord's Supper, have the communion, have the Passover table. He had it with his church members, his disciples who were, listen to me, the body of believers here, the first believers, the first church. Jesus had called these men out of the world. Jesus had saved these men. They had been baptized, and now they were following Jesus. They were listening to the teaching and the preaching of the Bible. And by the way, that's what a church body is. A called out assembly to a specific place for a very specific purpose. Okay? What I'm trying to say to you is this. Jesus didn't invite everybody around him. He had this with his disciples only. That's why we talk about it being a closed, or you have to be a member of this church. Okay? Because Jesus was he knew his men, he knew his disciples, and again, he told them, one of you is going to betray me. Now, he could not have said that to them if it would have been just a group of every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town. Okay, but he knew his men. He knew what was going on in their hearts, and he was always working in their hearts. It was a closed communion for the disciples only, the members of Jesus' church. Okay, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. Now, I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10 this time. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm talking about a closed communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. and not to God. Now, in the Bible, you know, Gentiles are pictures of lost people. They're pagan. They don't have the truth. They sacrifice to devils and not to God. And Paul tells the church, the believers in Corinth there, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils.
Amen.
Now, look in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord, same cup that we were talking about, and the cup of devils.
That's right. Yep.
You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
So, we're looking at a fact here that Jesus kept his 12 disciples there. Now, we understand that Judas was a betrayal, but that had to happen. Judas, whether you like it or not, he was still a member of that church.
That's right.
Okay? And we'll get to that in a minute. But what we're looking at here is the fact that it was a commissioned communion. It wasn't optional. Yeah. It wasn't just, I just don't think I'll go to church tonight because I don't want to take the Lord's Supper, or I just think I'll, you know, whatever. It wasn't optional, folks. It was Jesus commanding his disciples, we're going to take this feast together. But also, it wasn't for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Not only in verse 20, it says that the Gentiles sacrificed to devils. We look at that, of course, we'll say, number one, there's a lost people. Lost people cannot be members of the church. You understand, people, that there are churches all around us today who are celebrating communion, having communion with anybody and everybody. They have no idea whether they're even saved.
Yeah.
Okay? See, I cannot know anything about your personal life until you become a member of this church. Then I know you have a salvation testimony. I know you were baptized by immersion in a local Baptist church. And I know you, so therefore I know you're not sacrificing your life to devils.
Yeah, right.
I know that you're not lost, okay? It says here, and it says, I would not, in verse 20, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. This communion, what I say it was? It was fellowship.
Right.
It's fellowship. So I'm just kind of teaching you a few things here tonight. Understanding it's commissioned. It's not optional, but yet it's closed for the local church body. How many people do you know tonight that have saved, they've been saved, maybe they've even been baptized, but they just won't commit themselves to the local body of their church?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, they are losing out. They are missing out on what Jesus has prepared for all of us as his disciples. But look in verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Now, that's worth chewing on for a minute.
Yeah, come on.
Jesus didn't say you shouldn't.
Uh-huh. Come on.
He didn't say it's not right.
Come on, preach.
He says you cannot.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
What do you mean I cannot? I can too, preacher. What do you mean I cannot? I can too. Well, the fact is you cannot. And so if someone who is lost, someone who is not a member of the church, someone who I had no idea their real spiritual condition, is coming to sit down and take of the cup of the Lord, yet they're drinking of the cup of the devils themselves in their own lives, which I know nothing about because they're not a member of my church, then see, I'm compromising the table of the Lord.
That's right.
I'm compromising the cup of the Lord. I'm compromising this is a beautiful ordinance that Jesus has given to you and me. It is a wonderful time of communion and fellowship, you understand. It's not to be compromised by anything or anybody.
Yep.
And I firmly believe that with all my heart, what I'm telling you tonight, I'm not just saying something I've heard. I believe this is a special time for God's people that are in fellowship with their local church and with their Savior.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
It's very important that we understand it's closed communion. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You've read these verses. You've heard these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look in verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know that means marriage primarily, but the application could be made there. You're not to yoke up in church membership with someone who's not saved.
That's right.
Okay? Church membership is a privilege for those who have been born again and scripturally baptized. The Lord's table is a privilege for those who have been born again, scripturally baptized, and a member of God's church, and now they get to participate in the Lord's table. But look, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unfortunately, there's too many churches today. I think I've told you this story. Before I got saved, my wife and I, neither one of us were saved, but we knew that we needed the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, God was working in our hearts, and so we visited some church in Fort Worth. And we went down to, I think we went down to just pray at the altar, I think what it was. And the pastor, it was a large church, and the pastor just greeted us there and started praying with us as if we were going to join the church. He did not even ask me my name. He didn't ask me if I was saved. He didn't have any idea about my spiritual condition. He just wanted me and my wife to join the church. And folks, listen to me. That is happening everywhere. And see, what's happening is you've got churches with some people who may be saved, but they're unequally yoked with unbelievers in their church membership. And so therefore, everything is tainted. Everything. This especially. Because look in verse 14. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Yeah.
What communion hath light with darkness?
Oh.
None. The answer is zero. None.
That's right.
You can't have one and the other. There's nothing in common with unrighteousness and righteousness, light and darkness. So you and me understand something tonight. The table of the Lord that we're about to participate in is a privilege and an honor that God has given to His disciples, those of us who have been saved and those of us who are members of His church. But it is closed communion. Listen, it's closed communion because we don't have unequally yoked fellowship, people that I don't know anything about their spiritual condition. Okay? All right? That's not too hard to figure out. And I want you to notice with me back in Matthew 26 again. It's commissioned communion. It's not optional. There are many, many people out of the will of God because they're not faithful. They will not be a member of a local church. They bounce around. They don't understand the doctrines of the Bible. This is not an option. This is a commissioned communion. Number two, this is a closed communion. And number three, in verse 21, as they did eat, he said, "Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they said, they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them, not just Judas, every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?"
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now, here's what I want you to remember with me. It's commissioned, it's closed, but listen to me. It's also a time to be very careful.
Amen.
Careful.
Yep.
You do not want to, as a church member, if it's still possible, as a saved, born-again, baptized, faithful member of your church, it's still very possible to be sitting at the devil's table in your own life, in your own heart. It's still very possible to betray your Savior in your own heart.
Amen. That's right.
It's a time for us to carefully examine ourselves.
Amen.
It's a time for us to understand that we are partaking in something that is sacred.
Right.
And we dare not desecrate it with our unrighteous living. Now, none of us are perfect. Listen, I'm fully aware of that.
Man.
None of us are perfect. I understand that. But listen, but you know as well as I do what I'm talking about. There's a difference between being perfect and willfully betraying Jesus.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
Okay? There's a difference in being sinless. I'll never be sinless, but I'm not out here on purpose betraying my Savior.
Right.
I'm not here on purpose betraying my church body. I'm not here on purpose betraying my pastor and my church family. You understand? There's a time for you tune me to be very careful here, to be very careful here before we take of this table and this cup, to make sure that our hearts, again, are not in a spiritual condition that would betray our Savior. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's read in verse 26 this time. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's what? Death. Now, till he come. You understand now, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but his death was for one reason. For our sins.
That's right.
He had to suffer and bleed and die. Agonizing death because of our sin.
That's right.
When we take of this table and this cup with known willful sin in our hearts, we're betraying him.
That's right.
This is a time of serious introspection. Look what it says in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man, verse 28, examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, that's not talking about losing your salvation. It is talking about, though, eating and drinking to yourself the chastening rod of God.
Yeah.
Okay? No more fellowship. This is a time where we do not need to be thinking about everything else and everybody else right now. The Lord Jesus Christ deserves our focus, our attention, our devotion, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit, especially when we're going to partake of something as precious as the Lord's table and the Lord's cup.
Amen.
This is not salvation. This is not a cleansing of my soul. This is us showing forth his death.
Yes.
Now, let's read on here and I'll get to something else. Look in verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. Now, he's talking to believers.
That's right. Yep, come on.
Weak and sickly in your church, and many sleep. Many have passed away. I remember a few years ago we had the Lord's Supper in our other building, and there was a man who, and I'm very careful to tell people that this is for church members only. If you're not a church member, do not partake of this Lord's Supper. Well, he did it anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He did it anyway. You know, and I'm not the type to jump off the platform and start wringing somebody's neck.
Yeah.
But that's now on him because I told him. I warned him.
Right.
Well, last I heard, he's in jail. He's not getting out of jail. And his life is now absolutely miserable.
Right. Yep.
I'm telling you tonight, this is a serious business with the Lord. And look what it says here in verse 31. I'm still reading in 1 Corinthians 11. For if we would judge ourselves, listen, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, here it is, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. That means pray. That means spend time, and we're going to do that here in a minute. We're going to have some time of self-examining prayer. This is confessing of sins, turning our hearts and our minds over to the Lord Jesus. I promise you, listen, you don't want to eat of this thing if you're unsaved. You certainly don't. If there's any doubt about your salvation, look up here. If there's any doubt about your salvation, you better get saved tonight. Whatever you do, don't partake of this table.
Yeah. Right.
But if there's any doubt about your spiritual condition as far as where you're at as a Christian with the Lord, in good standing with your church, in good standing with your Savior, listen, it's important. See, this is a time of cleansing. This is a time of revival for Christians to come back to a place where they no longer take the Lord so for granted, so flippantly, where it's just no big deal. That's not going to happen without consequences. But see, I want you to understand something. This is a beautiful time when you get your heart right. When you get your heart right. And then you're able to remember what He did for you. I want you to notice with me in Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid, Galatians 6, 14, that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom, notice, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What we're looking at here tonight is this cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And what this cross ought to mean to the believer. Is that the world is crucified unto me. In other words, that world means nothing to me. Amen. That world means I do not live for that world anymore. That world does not do anything for me anymore. That world does not attract me anymore. That world does not draw me anymore. If I will get my heart right with this cross, the picture of the cross tonight, the world will be crucified, but notice, and I unto the world.
Amen.
I will be crucified with Christ. That's what we're looking at. Chapter 2 of Galatians. Chapter 2 of Galatians. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. If you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ. The Lord has made all things new. You are no longer lost, no longer condemned. You are redeemed, sanctified, reconciled. You are born again. You saved, amen. And that means you should be desiring to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm physically alive. I'm spiritually alive. But yet the world is dead unto me. The world is, I'm crucified to that world. You understand when Jesus hung on that cross that day, that for 6 hours that day, 3 hours of total darkness from noon to 3 o'clock. It doesn't normally get dark from noon to 3 o'clock. It was a miracle, amen. God made everything dark. I believe He was simply hiding His Son behind the darkness so that the world could not see His agony. But I want you to see here tonight, when Jesus was crucified on that cross, He was dying for the world, and the world was not happy. They thought all kinds of things about Him, but He was crucified for the world, and now He says, I want you to be crucified with me so that you can live in fellowship with me through the fellowship of my sufferings. Listen, the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ are nothing compared to the glory which one day we will share.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
The glory.
Amen.
I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. You know, whatever sin you're playing with tonight, you need to get down here on this altar and crucify it.
Amen.
You need to crucify it.
Amen.
Whatever you're toying with, whatever you're making light of, it's no big deal. No, the Lord's speaking to your heart. Right. You need to crucify it.
Amen.
Because no, you just say, well, I just won't take it. No. It's commissioned for you to take
right.
it.
That's right.
So you can't get out of it that way. God's not an idiot.
Amen. That's right.
He's not going to say, okay, that's right. Never mind. You just don't. No. Get your heart right.
Amen. That's right.
Crucify it tonight.
Yeah.
You need to live a crucified. God forbid that I should glory in anything other than the cross.
Amen.
Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
The life which I now live in the flesh, now that I'm saved, amen, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What kept Jesus on that cross? The faith of the Son of God.
That's right.
What do you mean, preacher? I'm talking about the faith that he had in his Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
He was doing the will of his Father.
Yes, amen.
He didn't have to die. He wasn't doing the will of Amazing Grace Baptist Church. He was doing the will of his Father,
amen,
for Amazing Grace Baptist,
yes,
Church,
amen,
for our sinful souls, so that we could glory in the cross, so that when we look at it, we could say, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I see the blood. The blood is still shed for my soul, the broken body, the tears, the agony. Thank you, Lord, for suffering for my sins. And dear God, how in the world can I continue to live in those sins, knowing that he died for those sins?
Amen.
Come on.
That's what we're talking about. This is a time of reflection, introspection, examining ourselves, but not for sorrow. The only thing that should make us sorrowful is how sinful we can get in this old world, in this old flesh. Because the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, that's what this broken body is. That's what this cup is. This is nothing more than a remembrance of the glorious cross of Calvary. But it's also, it should be a time of sorrow. If I'm not right with God, I need to search my heart. I need to let God search me. I need to let God change me. I need to let whatever's going on and sin I'm playing with, I need to let God remove it from my heart. I need to let God be the one who cleanses me. You remember now, look in Psalm 139 quickly. You know the verse? Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Can you say that tonight? Would you say that tonight? Here in a few minutes, would you be honest with God and say, oh God, search me. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. That means, Lord, put me in the furnace of conviction and let me know what my thoughts are, what my heart, what's in my heart. And see in verse 24, see, this is a humble prayer of self-examination, asking God to open up your heart, open up your thoughts. See if there be any at all wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I promise you tonight, God's waiting for us to cry out that prayer right there. Many times we just forget about what it cost us to be saved. That's what I'm talking about. What it cost us to be saved. That blood that he shed for our sins. I want you to look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, words are cheap, and walk in darkness, we lie. Don't do that tonight. Don't take this cup and this bread in deception. Don't try to lie to God. That's foolish. You can lie to a lot of people, but you can't lie to God.
That's right.
We lie, we do not the truth, but in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Of course he's in the light. He is the light, right? Yeah. We have, notice here's that word, fellowship.
Yeah.
One with another. And the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. What you need to do tonight, if there's anything in your life that's dark, you need to lay it up here on this altar and say, Lord, I'm coming back to the light.
Amen.
I'm coming back to the light. I need to fellowship with you. I need to fellowship with my brethren in my church. And Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross way back in those days still cleanses us from all sin.
Amen. Amen.
It still cleanses us. If we say in verse 8 that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Truth is not in us. Oh, there's so much to say here. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us, how? From and through that blood, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what I'm looking at tonight. I want you to understand something tonight. I'm done. We're going to have a time of invitation. We're going to pray, and I hope that you'll listen. I hope you'll find a place to be humble and say, oh God, search me. Cleanse me. I confess. If we confess our sins, that doesn't mean just admit that we did it. It means we confess it and forsake it. Then we'll find mercy.
Amen.
Confess it and forsake it. The word confession here means I'm turning from it back to the light.
Amen.
Out of the darkness into the light.
Amen.
Out of the shadows, amen, into the glorious sunshine of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where your fellowship is. That's where your communion will be found. That's why the Bible sometimes just is not as sweet as it used to be. This is a special time, a necessary time for God's people to repent and return and be revived. It's a commissioned communion. You don't have a choice. Don't sit there and say, I'm not going to do it now, I'm scared. You're not going to please God that way. Well, that's between you and God. But it's God's will and it's appointed to you to take this table. But it's for your own good.
Yes.
Take this time. Make sure you're a church member. And of course, then, but take time to be careful that you don't betray your Savior spiritually by leaving darkness and worldliness and all kinds of filth in your heart and your mind and then sitting at the Lord's table while you're sitting at the devil's table. He said you cannot do that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's impossible. In other words, this won't do anything for you until you get up from that table.
Amen.
And come to this table.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, with tender hearts. Lord, we all need to be honest, humble. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the cross and the blood that He shed there for us. Father, I pray you'd bless this time of invitation. Lord God, that you'd use your word in our hearts now for a few minutes, God. We would judge ourselves. We would be very careful, Lord, to judge ourselves. That we would open up our hearts to you, our thoughts, our minds, our spirits. Lord, we're never going to be everything we want to be, Lord. We fail you miserably every day. But Father, if there be any willful sin, any presumptuous sin, sin that is regarded in our hearts without any desire to turn from it, oh God, would you please convict us? Would you please convict us tonight so that we may fellowship and have this communion with our Savior as a local church body. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you for dying for our soul's salvation. Oh, Lord, please, God forbid, we should glory save in the cross of our Savior. Please, Lord, help your people to be crucified to the world. And Lord God, that old world crucified to us. Help us to understand, Lord God, what that really means. And we're going to do your will for our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The piano is going to play softly tonight. If you're not at the altar, you could go ahead and stand. The altars are open. You can use your chair, you can use the altar, whatever you'd like to do. tonight, but you, as the Lord spoke to your heart.